Ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, we're gonna kind of continue on with the first 400 and kind of some pitfalls and some keys to success, and honestly, some of the nuance that goes on to these trainings.
Yeah, so if you have been with us for this series, or if you have not been, you can catch up. We have been going through our first 400 program, which is our 8-week onboarding program for our team members. We have been focusing on our front office, and we have been going week by week through some of the topics we're covering with them, and then some of the objections that you will inevitably have from both the new team members and your existing team members. So we are in week 7 this week, and we're going to be talking about our Keys to Success course, which goes in conjunction with our separate department training courses to make sure that our team members are all calibrated on the things that they need to know about our practices and dentistry, especially for when they're communicating with patients.
Yeah, this is kind of, like I said, this is kind of there's the overarching broad strokes we kind of went through in the first 6 weeks, but when we kind of get down to the details, this is where it really works on a lot of these modules and a lot of these trainings. And this is where everything kind of clicks for a lot of people, because this is what they're going to be doing on a day-to-day basis. And a lot of this what has to do with kind of, okay, how do you handle these situations when you have a patient right in front of you, you have a patient on the phone, you have a patient in the chair right there, and how do you take those trainings and kind of, make those successful in those real life moments?
Right. Well, and when we get to this point, it's a little bit of a test, honestly, to see if people are going to be interested in continuing to learn about dentistry. Whether someone comes to us with experience or without experience, we've talked about this a lot, that I mean, if someone comes in with experience, that can be a great asset. It can also be a little bit of a curse because then you oftentimes have bad habits. Or you're hearing that, well, this is the way that they did it at this office. And on the one hand, we're always open to listening to how people did things at other offices, but we have different materials here. You got to learn the way that we're doing it, in our office. And especially from a front office standpoint, a lot of times we'll have team members come in and they don't have any experience in dentistry and they use that as an excuse. A lot of times, like, hey, I don't know about dentistry, so I can't talk to patients about crowns, or I can't talk to patients about veneers. And especially when it comes to your front office, they are usually the first impression that a patient has of your office. They're the ones that are answering the phones. They're the ones that are answering the questions. Do your doctors do aesthetics or do they do implants? And if the answer is, I don't know, you might be losing a new patient without even realizing it.
Yeah, it's really huge. And I think I want to clarify one thing. I don't think it works out very well at all when people come in with dental experience. And I'm not trying to be, put those people down, but there's a lot of people that come, and I'm not saying everyone. There's definitely we have a big number of people that have come in. They've been fantastic team players, but so frequently we see people come in with dental experience thinking they're God's gift, or thinking that, hey, I've been doing this for 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is. They know everything and they don't want to learn. And what we find is that the bad habits are not subtle, and nothing is written down. There's no system. It's just kind of what I feel like I need to do every minute of the day. And you kind of react, and there's a big value to reacting and kind of knowing how to react around the flow of a day or the flow of a patient. But if there's no system, or you're not following a system with the rest of your team, no one can really work off of you, right? You can't just have one player in a football team kind of do whatever the hell they want, and everyone else is running the play. It's just not going to work. Everyone needs to kind of be working in conjunction, and knowing what the next steps are.
Yeah, so our Keys to Success module goes over everything that we do in the practices. It goes over how we want to talk about services with patients. It goes over the common questions that we have. We have our top 10 common questions. Again, just the basic things that you take for granted. Do you do digital x-rays? Are you placing mercury fillings? These things that come up that we listen to on our phone calls. These things change over time sometimes of what patients are asking questions about. Making sure that they have the basics about your doctors. I mean, I had a funny but not funny. This was a couple of years ago, had someone asking about a doctor who they had not worked yet with in our office, asking if they were male or female. You need to go on the website and have that information down if someone is asking that question. Again, so just making sure that we're calibrated and not getting lost in the technobabble. And that's a huge barrier. We actually have a module. It's my very favorite one in our Keys to Success course. It's called What the Beep is a Distal. This was a question that was posed by one of our patients during an exam as we're rambling off, our surfaces and whatnot, and that patient is in the chair and what the beep is a distal. It was a great reminder for us that we can talk in our own dental terminology and lose a patient, and those scary clinical terms just make them more afraid and anxious for what is coming. You know, they don't realize we're just talking about surfaces. They think they have a whole other situation that's wrong with them. So we talk about trigger words with our team. When you are talking to a patient, you talk about decay, you talk about infection, you talk about a crack. You don't need to go into radiolucency. They're not impressed that you know that term and can spell it, doctors. I'm sorry to tell you, but that is the reality. So we break down that same barrier with our team. We're not expecting you to communicate to a patient on the level a doctor would. We're expecting you to use patient-friendly terms and you, in turn, to understand those patient-friendly terms.
Yeah, and I think this is huge. And I'm a big fan of this clear speak, and I think that's there's a time and a place for having a lot of this kind of technical terms and technical jargon and things like that. And obviously, we need it when we're talking amongst our colleagues. We use it all the time when we're talking on our doctor calls, multiple a week. We have clinical collaboration calls with our doctors to make sure everyone's, presenting cases and kind of bouncing cases off each other. Obviously, we're gonna, use the appropriate terminology in those situations. That's kind of where it ends. And I think if we really need to write a lot of that stuff in the notes, that's one place it can kind of live to. But we've seen this go so far the other direction, where honestly, I'm listening to some of these exams or some of these situations from some of these doctors, and I don't even understand some of the terms they're using. And a little bit of them are, these technical terms tend to be regional based on the dental school or region that you went to too, and it's, yes, we can kind of figure it out a little bit, but it's not clear. And so we need to remember that. And this story about what the bleep was a distal was one of my favorite. I think I was in the next
Amazing.
room when this happened, and it was,
Awesome.
we got a lot of laughter at it. It was pretty good. It was pretty funny. But
There was no beep
there
in
was no beep.
that
No
question.
beep. There was no beep, and I think it was at least every third word with this guy, and he was a nice guy, but
Oh my gosh. Amazing.
it was
Great
pretty.
patient. He's the inspiration for a part of our training program. Yes.
It really was, but it was a good reminder, and he wasn't mad at all. It was just kind of a comment he made. It was really funny, and so we used it, but it's a good reminder to us that people don't understand. And I think the main point that Jennifer made that was so important is it when they don't understand something, anxiety happens every time, 100% of the time. And we need to make sure that we understand that we're not trying to impress people with how much we know. We're trying to impress people with how much we can do for them and how much we care. And it's not going to work out well if we're just trying to impress them with how many technical mumbo jumbo we can rattle off in a certain time period.
And that transfers over to your team members too. You know, again, even once you're in week seven with a new person, they're still figuring things out. You know, I say this to our existing team members all the time when we have someone new come on board, say, we're a lot. Okay. There's a lot of us, there's a lot of personalities. We're one big, happy, dysfunctional family. But when you come into that, it's a lot. It's my big fat Greek wedding, just, you know, on steroids here. So give them a minute, right? And the more that sometimes this happens with existing team members, you know, they want to impress a new team member with all the things that they know that is just being shoved down a new team member's throat, and it's causing them anxiety in turn. And you do not want that to then be translated to when they're discussing things with patients. Again, you need your team to be your biggest advocates. They need to be completely confident in what you're doing from a service standpoint, right? If they're trying to get patients in the door and they're going to the office down the street, and I'm not saying that it's, you know, because sometimes we have people, they want to keep those personal boundaries separate, but it's because they don't believe in the work that you do. That is going to come off in the interactions that they have with your patients. So they need to be confident that, hey, and if they don't know something and they aren't sure about the service, we have this come up all the time. You know, we'll have team members ask, hey, doctors, at our next team meeting, can you go over bone grafting again? Can you explain why you recommend bone grafting with extraction so that I can help explain it to patients as to why that's necessary? Can you know, go over some of these stories? Or, you know, Dr. Erickson has a very close story with his brother-in-law about oral cancer and how scary that can be. Can you go over again why we are so passionate about oral cancer screenings and making sure we're finding these things sooner rather than later? Those are the people that you want. Those are the people that are invested in making themselves better so that we can all help treat our patients the best level of care that we can possibly deliver to them.
That's such a huge point, I think. And even the ones that aren't asking for it, I think they're curious too. And I think, explaining to something to an assistant, whether they're new or they're not familiar with a certain procedure and they've even been around for a while, whatever it is, it goes a long way. And if someone You're trying to explain, hey, this is why I did something, or this is what this means, or this is, my reasoning for putting this step of the procedure first and not the other one, whatever it is. If you have an assistant or a team member that doesn't care, they're probably not the right fit, right? And I think that's a really good thing to keep in mind. If someone just doesn't care, they just don't care about their job a little bit, right? And I think we need to remember that. But the flip side of that though is if we have people that just aren't confident enough or comfortable enough with you at the at that point to ask, it doesn't mean we shouldn't share that. And it only takes 30 seconds. And in our office, we talk a lot about the 30-second breakout, meaning just kind of, hey, good, bad, or otherwise, or even just explaining what's going on. That's kind of the most we want our doctors to train with our team members, is these kind of little 30-second breakouts outside the room. We step out in the hall. Hey, this went really well, or hey, I really want you to start doing this when I'm doing the notes, or when I'm letting the cement dry, I want you just to kind of start working on this, whatever it is. But explaining to them why you did something is something that takes a little bit of time at first, but it's gonna take away, it's gonna make something more efficient as you go along. Meaning they're not gonna have to understand. They can almost read you a little bit the next time you do that, or they can kind of anticipate what you're doing. And I think it really pays off dividends in the future.
Well, and also doctors, and I try to preface this if I'm asking a question still to Sten, I'll say for my own knowledge so that it doesn't come off that I'm questioning him from a clinical standpoint, right? I really am trying to learn, realize that that's where most of your team members are coming from too, right? They're not trying to question what your surgical technique is. And a lot of times we can bring defenses up. And honestly, usually when those defenses come up, it's because something was done out of the ordinary, right? It wasn't the regular script. It wasn't the regular cookies that we're baking, but also realize that those team members are also probably the ones that have to explain it to your patients if something changed on the treatment, on the scheduling. So they're trying to understand why was this off script. It's not that they're questioning your clinical competency. They're trying to be prepared for themselves.
No, that's huge. And I think we need to take our egos down a little bit as doctors. And we hear it so many times. Well, that maybe that people don't say it verbatim, but that message of, hey, I'm the doctor, I know what I'm doing. Even if it's just you don't say that, but it's implied, that's fine if that's the way you want to operate. Just realize that's going to limit how much your team can support you. Because they're gonna have to do everything, right? The more that you can share with them and bring them into the fold a little bit about why you're doing something, the more they're gonna be able to anticipate and do things for you and kind of set up patients or set up cases or set up situations in the office for you based on what you've already done. And if you don't have a standard operating system, meaning you don't do things the same way every single time, it's impossible. It's impossible to support. And so you're just going to be reliant on being the conductor in those situations instead of being someone that can kind of be led a little bit by your team.
And realize if you are in that conductor role, that's not a subjective role when you feel like it. That means that you are
No.
boxing yourself into it 100% of the time.
Yes.
And that's where a lot of the friction comes from because then your team doesn't know if they're coming or going, when they should step up and take control. They're going to assume you're going to do it all the time. And all of a sudden, you have a huge aesthetic case that you're trying to get out the door to do. And now you have 100 questions about the exam and the treatment plan. And you're wondering, why does the assistant not have this down right now? Well, that's because the last five exams, you took it from start to finish.
Right. No, that's a huge point. Yeah.
Well, we are going to finish up on our 8th week of our first 400 program next week. We're going to be talking about etiquette. That's also a spicy hot take, especially in your front office. So come back next week so we can finish up on this series. In the meantime, if you would like to connect with us about our training programs, how we are helping offices build self-managed teams, you can connect with us at our email, connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. Our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and we are on all the social media platforms. So please feel free to reach out, and we'll be back next week.
See you guys next time.
Bye.